You ever watch this guy on television?
You all were not telling the truth, and you should not be trusted.
Congressman Matt Gaetz, thank you for what you did for your country tonight.
Be offended with the Democratic whip, not House Republicans.
Like a machine, Matt Gaetz.
Welcome to Hot Takes. I'm Congressman Matt Gaetz. Let's talk about the news. Happy Election Eve to everyone. Predictions abound. There's a tremendous amount of energy in America as more than 100 million people have voted, and there'll be a lot more voting going on tomorrow. I saw one prediction from Steve Bannon's War Room on how the electoral map could potentially play out, and it falls pretty close to my prediction on how things may turn out on Election Day, and so here it is. If you start with the map from 2016, and then you wonder, okay, well, are there any of the Trump electoral votes that Joe Biden could potentially pick up? My belief is that Joe Biden probably has the best chance to flip Michigan and to hold Minnesota, hold Nevada. So if Biden were able to flip Michigan, if Biden were able to flip that one district in Maine that the president won, if Joe Biden were to win the Omaha, Nebraska seat, remember Maine and Nebraska, the only two states that are not winner-take-all with their electoral votes, then my suspicion is you would see the president win the election with 288 electoral votes. I think the president wins Pennsylvania. I think he wins Florida. I think he wins Arizona. I think he wins Georgia, North Carolina. That's really the battleground kind of in the South and the Sun Belt, that North Carolina, Florida, Arizona, Georgia, a swing. And then, of course, the Midwest, where we'll see slim margins, but where the president has essentially been camping out these last several days. Today, the president making two stops in Michigan, going to Wisconsin, also making a stop in North Carolina. So understanding that map, hey, look, it would be less of a win in the Electoral College than against Hillary Clinton, but 288 electoral votes makes a president, makes a re-election, and makes sure that we keep America great. Renee Graham, columnist for the Boston Globe, says there's no difference between Trump supporters and ISIS. Unbelievable. She ends up tweeting out a picture of Trump supporters in a caravan flying Trump 2020 flags, American flags, and then side by side, she tweets a caravan of ISIS flying the ISIS flag. And she writes, "See the difference? Me neither." This is disgusting. Trump supporters, by and large, love our country. They believe we should respect our flag and our anthem. They believe that it's okay to be patriotic because we are not an evil, intractably doomed nation. We're the greatest nation that's ever existed. And the fact that Trump supporters react to the constant negativity that we face from the media, from the left, the judgment, we just want to get out and show our patriotism, show our appreciation for the fact that we get to celebrate with our fellow Americans, the fact that we have a president who doesn't apologize for our country, but tries to build our country up. We have a president who doesn't just go give away our money in international deals for virtue signaling while hollowing out the prosperity of our citizens and our people. We don't have a president who makes trade deals to benefit multinational corporations as our people see wages that don't allow them to build strong families and strong communities. The Trump movement really is all about love, love of country, love for our fellow Americans, love of this nation so much that we would do anything to protect her from those that would invade at our southern border or those who would try to talk so badly about our country that we would hold a diminished place in the world. Obama thought America needed to be apologized for. Trump understands that we are best as Americans if we are vibrant and loving and kind and appreciative for the fact that we get to be in the greatest country that has ever existed. I can't believe that the Boston Globe would allow one of their columnists to say something so vile, so hate-filled. I thought that the left was all about this notion that love trumps hate. Well, I don't see a whole lot of love coming from them. I see a whole lot of hate. I believe Americans love this country. That's why I think tomorrow they're going to reelect our president. Donald Trump is going to get the highest share of the black vote for a Republican since Richard Nixon. Now, the black vote has been reliably Democratic for a political generation, but you've seen in the 2020 election a lot of black voices for President Trump breaking away from those traditional dogmas, breaking away from what other people tell them they need to think or how they need to act or how they need to vote. I've chronicled on the podcast the Platinum Plan for Black America, the extent to which that's attracted black rappers, other black Americans to offer their support and their encouragement and, frankly, their political legitimacy to the president. Well, that doesn't sit well with everyone. Congresswoman Maxine Waters made the statement. We picked it up from dailycaller.com. She says, "I will never forgive them," of black people who vote for Donald Trump. What a craven statement. I would never say such a thing about white people choosing to vote for Joe Biden. If there's a white person who wants to vote for Joe Biden, and there are millions who will, I most certainly would not hold some grudge against them that would be unforgivable. I think that regardless of people's skin color, they have a right to make their own choice about their politics, their views, and the candidates that they would choose to support. But instead, you've got Maxine Waters. Remember, she's the same person who said, get in the faces of the Trump supporters, ruin their dinners, drive them out of places of social gathering that they may be. This is about intimidation. This is a threat. And this is the way that the Democratic Party wants to continue to be able to take advantage of the black vote, by shunning and shaming those who would dare to think for themselves, to step out and vote for the president. We should not be engaged in race-based identity politics with such an evil and mean-spirited approach. Maxine Waters is a mean-spirited person. She showed that with this statement. And know that no matter who anyone votes for, we're all each other's fellow Americans, and there is nothing that should deprive us of the ability to forgive one another, love one another, and root for each other's success, no matter who the president is and no matter who we vote for. Bad news for election integrity out of the state of North Carolina. The Supreme Court has refused to review a North Carolina law that allows the state to count ballots up to 9 days after the election. An election is a discrete moment in time. It's not a state of being or existence that drags on for weeks or months. If we're still counting ballots and don't know who the president is 9 days after the election, that does tremendous damage to the whole notion of democracy and representative government and the construct of a constitutional republic as we try to make the case for this vision of governance throughout the world. We can't be counting ballots 9 days after the election. That's crazy. My hope is that if this were to actually come to bear, the Supreme Court would take up these decisions because they would be more ripe. There's reasonably an argument that right now, perhaps the court doesn't have to rule on these questions. And again, the decision to deny certiorari, to not take up the case, doesn't mean that the court has in any way opined on the merits of the legitimacy of this North Carolina law. It just means that at this current state of time before the election, it's not sufficiently ripe for the court to make a decision. Well, if they start counting ballots 9 days after the election, it'll be ripe, ripe, ripe. And we'll need to make a call to ensure that we've got a legitimate winner and that it's not the consequence of ballot harvesting and the counting of ballots that were not lawfully voted by American citizens. So not what we want to see out of North Carolina thus far, but I think when it comes to the bad Pennsylvania law, the bad North Carolina law, we could see Supreme Court action in the hours, if not days, after the election to ensure that we have a legitimate president of the United States. It appears Europe is going back into lockdown mode. Townhall.com has the story from the United Kingdom. Boris Johnson announces second nationwide lockdown. Prime Minister Boris Johnson locked down the United Kingdom on Saturday as cases of the Wuhan coronavirus surged throughout the country. Johnson calling for the month-long shutdown to begin on Thursday and last through December 2nd. The Prime Minister said there is simply no alternative to a second nationwide shutdown. Quote, "We've got to be humble in the face of nature. And in this country, alas, as across much of Europe, the virus is spreading even faster than the worst case scenario for our scientific advisors," Johnson said. The Prime Minister said thousands could die every day if the country doesn't take desperate action, and said more than 80,000 could die over the winter if the shutdown doesn't happen. Now, what does the shutdown mean? Non-essential shops, leisure, and entertainment venues will all close down, as will pubs, bars, and restaurants. Eateries can still operate. Takeaway and delivery services, workplaces should stay open, Johnson said, only when remote work is not an option. The country's second national lockdown will allow schools, colleges, and universities to stay open. That is a difference from the prior lockdown they had. Quote, "We cannot let this virus damage our children's futures even more than it has already," said Johnson. So schools open, restaurants closed, leisure time ended, month-long shutdown in the UK. I also saw a piece in The Economist from Italy while we're over in Europe saying that in some of the hardest hit towns and communities, they are starting to see a population level immunity. We often hear that described as herd immunity in the United States. And Italy was hit hard. I mean, there are towns and villages in Italy where 1% of the population died. And, you know, you may not think about that being a large percentage, but it sure is when you're talking about death, when you're talking about the impact that even one death can have on a family, a community, an existence for any number of people. 1% of the people dying in a town or city or village certainly has a tremendous impact on the life within that particular community for those who are still around. And so we hope that this level of immunity will ensure that there's not a second wave in Italy, though there are politicians there, just like in Britain, talking about more extended lockdowns. In the United States, I don't think we're tolerating any more lockdowns. I think that the American people are ready to face this virus with sanitation, with more therapeutics, with the development of a vaccine. But the notion that we are going to forever scuttle American life by limiting the development of people, by limiting the social interaction, by allowing these terrible mental health, drug abuse, other types of abuse consequences to persist, that's just not us. So I hope that they're able to get this virus under control in Europe, but I don't suspect that we will be importing the policies of Boris Johnson to the United States. Every presidential election, we always get the pearl-clutching celebrities claiming that they'll leave America if they don't get their way in converting our great country into their liberal woketopia. You'll remember back in 2016, Lena Dunham, Jon Stewart, Samuel L. Jackson, a bunch of other celebrities said they would leave the country if Donald Trump were reelected. Of course, they didn't. Still here. And so now we've got a new list of those who say that if in 2020 Trump's reelected, they're out of here. Bruce Springsteen, born to run indeed, running out of America, he says, if Trump wins. And Tommy Lee, former husband to Pam Anderson and Motley Crue drummer. I don't know what we'll do in America without Tommy Lee. Ricky Martin. I can't believe Mr. Livin' La Vida Loca is about to bail. America's been pretty damn good to Ricky Martin. And so he says he and his husband are going to bail if the president's reelected. John Legend and Christy Teigen, very frequent critics of the president, say they'll be gone too. So I don't know. It will be quite something to see if there's a greater fidelity to these commitments in 2020 than there was in 2016. My hot take is America is awesome. Love her or leave. Senator Kamala Harris believes America needs a lecture on the difference between equity and equality. It's super weird. Take a listen.
So there's a big difference between equality and equity. Equality suggests oh, everyone should get the same amount. The problem with that, not everybody's starting out from the same place. So if we're all getting the same amount, but you started out back there and I started out over here, we could get the same amount, but you're still gonna be that far back behind me. It's about giving people the resources and the support they need so that everyone can be on equal footing and then compete on equal footing. Equitable treatment means we all end up at the same place.
Here's my hot take. In America, there is no guarantee that we all end up at the same place. People's drive, talent, skill, determination all contribute to where we end up. And of course, people start in different places. That's why we need platforms of opportunity, good schools, opportunities for good jobs. And it is perhaps more than ironic that the policies endorsed by Senator Harris make it far more difficult for people to be able to climb out of their existing circumstances and do better. Socialism is not a way to encourage ambition and productivity. It feeds to the lowest common denominator, and that's not who America is. So I'll pass on Senator Kamala Harris's lecture on equity versus equality, and I will stand for the proposition that in America, we all need equal opportunity, but we are not guaranteed equal outcomes. That's what makes us different. That's what makes us unique. It's what makes us the greatest country in the world. America's bravest and best have rescued one of our fellow Americans in a heroic endeavor. That's right, in Nigeria, an American was rescued who had been taken captive in Niger. SEAL Team 6 was involved. There were no casualties, no harms to Americans. U.S. forces conducted the hostage rescue operation during the early hours of 31 October in northern Nigeria to recover an American citizen held hostage by a group of armed men. The American citizen is safe and now in the care of the U.S. Department of State. So great to see. We picked up the story from militarytimes.com, and it just goes to show us each and every day how the training and skill of our best special operators can be deployed to ensure that our fellow Americans are safe and recovered. Africa is a very dangerous part of the world right now. There is a lot of kidnapping going on there, a lot of political violence, and it's great to see that we've got the ability, without being excessively entangled in Africa, to ensure that we're able to rescue, save, preserve an American who is in jeopardy. Congratulations to SEAL Team 6. We are prouder of you than we could ever express in words. Is big tech causing us to hate one another through algorithms? Matt Laszlo writes a very provocative piece in thenewstation.com. Don't let Twitter kill love. Big tech makes you hate the other party. And in Laszlo's piece, he talks about the way in which the algorithms developed by these social media platforms specifically incentivize snark and biting commentary, because conflict keeps people more attentive to their social media platforms than love. And the result is it causes us to dislike each other a lot more rapidly. It allows us to be attracted more to venom than to mutual care for one another. And during the election season, those algorithms particularly bend toward the negative. It's my hope that what we see on social media, where that type of caustic conflict seems to permeate, doesn't proliferate into the other elements of our lives. But being aware of the way in which these big tech algorithms promote division gives us, I think, greater context in evaluating what we see on those platforms. Because remember, it is not like a meritocracy of content. It's not that just because content is interesting or true that it spreads more. Virility is oftentimes about the way in which posts, pictures, words interact with the preset algorithms of these tech companies. And if the tech companies want more hate because it keeps people more addicted to their platforms to observe and participate in conflict, then I think we become a less loving society, a less gracious society, and the Laszlo commentary certainly calls us to be a better version of ourselves in real life than we may be online as a result of these big tech hate-filled algorithms. The McRib is coming back nationwide in the United States, and it's about time. I figure after this election, Americans will need something to unite over, and it's good to see the world's largest fast food chain is doing its part. Now, the McRib was last available nationwide in the United States in 2012. There were 10,000 stores that were offering it. There was actually an app that could help you locate a McDonald's that had the McRib. Interestingly, it was widely available in Germany, but not the United States. So America first means we got to have the McRib fully available in America first. McDonald's overall is seeing a great economic health. They're raising their dividend to 3%, according to the information that we've received at thestreet.com. We'll post that story. Also, McDonald's is seeing the average order size increase. I guess that's a result of coronavirus, with fewer and fewer people taking advantage of the traditional restaurant setting. Folks are going to the drive-thru. They're making bigger orders, and that has resulted in good economic health for McDonald's. So good to see the McRib coming back. I can't wait to sink my teeth into one. Thanks for listening to Hot Takes. I'm Congressman Matt Gaetz. Of course, we always want you to subscribe to the podcast. Give us that 5-star rating on Apple iTunes if that's your listening platform of choice. But most importantly, make sure you get out and vote tomorrow if you haven't already. Regardless of which candidate you support, America is a better place when more of our citizens are participating in this wonderful self-governance paradigm that we have the ability to live in. So get out and vote, have your voice be heard, and join us tomorrow for a special Election Day episode of Hot Takes.